It's nearly 12 noon and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station, broadcasting from Signal Hill, overlooking beautiful downtown Kodiak, where it's presently 49 degrees, sunny skies, a beautiful day, if a bit blustery. We're looking for west winds steadily to 30, 35 miles per hour for the rest of the day. Gusts as high as 55 miles per hour. And those gusty winds expected to continue overnight, but slack off by tomorrow morning. Coming up on the midday news, Kodiak's COVID-19 count blew past the 100 case milestone. How do we compare with the rest of the state? A story on some escaped pigs. Senator Sullivan and his challenger Al Gross swapped barbs in their recent debate. And searchers are looking for some missing boaters.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. New coronavirus cases are climbing to record numbers in this country and around the world, and that has global markets shaken. The Dow has fallen more than 800 points today. At last glance, it was actually down 649 points, or 2.2%. All major market indices had fallen roughly 2 to 2.5%. NASDAQ's currently down more than 1.5%. S&P's down 1.8%. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton, says the U.S. market's reacting to Congress's inability so far to finalize another coronavirus relief package, leaving millions of Americans in limbo.
In an economy that didn't have jobs, it didn't deter their search for jobs, but it did actually support the rebound in spending. And as that money waned, so did the rebound in spending. And now we've got a lot of consumers, many more consumers that are, and workers really, that are unemployed, that are unable to feed themselves for a week or their families for a week, let alone cover their rent.
While Congress remains at an impasse over financial relief, divisions are also playing out over the impending confirmation of President Trump's Supreme Court nominee. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer protested today what the Democratic minority is unable to stop.
This is about raw political power. This is about a Senate majority deciding to break faith with the American people and make a mockery of its own principle to secure a seat on the Supreme Court.
That GOP majority is set to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court tonight. Here's NPR Susan Davis.
President Trump hopes that his promise to put more conservatives on the Supreme Court will provide an election year boost to his campaign, as it did in 2016. Barrett is 48 years old and will further tip the ideological balance on the court towards conservatives for the foreseeable future. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell spoke to that reality in a floor speech in which he noted the changes to the court will outlast whatever happens in the election. The vote is expected to fall along party lines. Democrats oppose filling the seat before Election Day, but have no power to delay it. Susan Davis, NPR News, Washington.
And the White House plans to hold a swearing-in ceremony tonight after Judge Barrett is confirmed. A third ceasefire between Azerbaijan and ethnic Armenians is in jeopardy of collapsing and further destabilizing the region. It also threatens to draw in Turkey and Russia, which support opposing sides of the conflict in the separatist region of Nagorno-Karabakh. Security forces are accusing each other of new attacks in violation of the U.S.-backed truce Armenia and Azerbaijan announced over the weekend. The Dow has closed down 649 points to end the day at 27,685. This is NPR.
Kodiak's COVID-19 count blew past the 100-case milestone on Friday. Even so, compared to the rest of the state, the number of positive cases for the virus is relatively low in the Kodiak region. So far, there have been no cases reported in any of the villages on Kodiak Island. The total number of cases borough-wide since the first outbreak of the virus in April is now at 103. Anchorage saw almost twice that many cases in one single day. On Sunday, 192 cases were reported there. Statewide, that number shot up to 526 on Sunday. Kodiak City Manager Mike Tvenge says those latest numbers from the State Health Department should serve as a warning for Kodiak.
That's the most ever since this started, and don't think this virus has gone away. Stay vigilant about this. It's not over with.
Bonnie Weed is the state public health nurse who tracks Kodiak cases. She hopes the low number of COVID cases in the region won't lull people into a false sense of security.
We haven't had a lot of cases going on in the community, but we have consistently had 1 to 3 cases per week that would seem to suggest transmission in the community. So not big numbers, but pretty constant numbers.
Weed says Kodiak as a community has been very proactive, but contact tracing in some recent local cases shows that precautions aren't being taken. And with the huge surge in cases statewide, Weed says it's more important than ever that masks and social distancing become a way of life. She warns it could be some time before vaccines are available, especially in remote communities like Kodiak. Weed also worries that testing, depending on federal funding, may no longer be free in the near future. She says access to testing has made a huge difference in Kodiak.
I think Kodiak is probably one of the most tested places in the country. We've done close to 14,000 tests on this island. Amazingly, as compared to other parts of the world and the U.S., the testing has been free, which is pretty unheard of.
Weed credits the Kodiak Area Native Association and other health organizations for making testing widely available. Weed also says another group has played a key role in keeping this region's COVID count low, the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center, which has coordinated a region-wide response.
That has been really impressive, and I think it's really helped us so much with not having very many cases. I think Kodiak probably is one of the best responses that you could really expect.
City Manager Mike Tvenge says both the borough and the city have assigned staffers to focus on COVID-19 prevention, with meetings to continue on a weekly basis with heads of various agencies and organizations, so they are ready to react to outbreaks like the recent one at the Kodiak Coast Guard base, which involved 14 cases that were contained to the base. There were also dozens of infections reported this summer at OBI Seafoods plant in Alitak on the southern part of Kodiak Island, but that wave of cases did not spread to beyond the processing facility. City Manager Mike Tvenge says the potential for spread of the virus in Kodiak seafood industry was great, but for the most part, the industry has been successful in policing itself.
I can just give them praise because they've taken on a strong mitigation plan, and we've got people living in bunkhouses. We have people living in the community with other family members, so we've got a real chance for spread of the virus.
Even as Kodiak has passed the 100-case mark, it remains at the green or low-risk level. Schools district-wide are still being taught in person, and all of this is possible, Tvenge says, because the community has worked hard to stay a step ahead of the virus. But he warns, this could easily change. 8 little piggies went wee, wee, wee all the way home, back to their farm in Bell's Flats, but not without generating some excitement on the Friends of Kodiak Facebook page. Footage of 8 black and brown piglets trotting down Lake Salmonberry Drive had people asking, where did those piglets belong and from whence did they make their great escape? Well, Brittany Keplinger quickly put an end to the guessing game when she posted, "Pig situation is under control." Keplinger said she got several calls at the Rendezvous restaurant where she works that her pigs were on the run, and by that time, her husband Jacob was close to bringing their adventure to an end.
They've never traveled that far, so they were a little out of sorts when they saw a car for the first time and probably a dog or two.
The piglets are just 12 months old, Kodiak born and bred, the offspring of a sow and boar that the Keplingers mated locally. As it turns out, her husband Jacob didn't have much trouble luring them home because he knows what it takes to get a pig's attention.
He gives them marshmallows every morning so that they come up close to him. So they followed him pretty closely, and then him and a friend were able to corral them into a pen.
The old marshmallow trick works every time. So how is it that 8 little piggies made their escape in the first place? Normally they're penned in by an electric fence, but they've learned if they dig and pile up enough dirt against it, they can knock it out of commission.
They can smell when the electric fence is hot and on. So if they can, like, smell and realize that it's down because they've piled so much dirt on it, they know that they can just run through the netting.
Young though those piggies may be, you might say they're still on the run from being on someone's future dinner plate. Friends and neighbors have already made deposits on buying them when they're fully grown. Health care and personal wealth came up again and again when the two major parties' candidates for the U.S. Senate debated each other on Friday. Challenger Al Gross, the Democratic Party's nominee, supports adding a public option to the health care insurance market to lower costs. Republican incumbent Dan Sullivan says voters shouldn't believe Gross on health care policy because he made a fortune as an orthopedic surgeon.
Think about my opponent's Senate campaign proposition to all of Alaska. I fleeced you. I know how this rig system works. I was part of it. Now elect me and I will fix it. Al, you're like the arsonist running for fire chief. You're like putting Bernie Madoff in charge of financial reform. You have no credibility.
Gross says he charged no more than the going rate for Alaska. He made an issue of Sullivan's family wealth, which stems from a multinational company his grandfather founded in Ohio. The company, called RPM, includes Rust-Oleum and other brands. Sullivan owns stock worth up to $5 million in the company. By contrast, Gross says he made his own money.
I started two businesses when I was 14. I bought Microsoft when I was there in my early 20s. I'm proud of who I am. I've worked really hard. And unlike you, I didn't go to Billionaire Boy Rich summer camp. And I don't have a billionaire family doing direct business with the communist Chinese government.
Gross said Sullivan's many votes to repeal the Affordable Care Act show Sullivan would take away coverage for existing conditions. Sullivan says he wants to keep popular aspects of President Obama's signature health care plan, including protection for those with pre-existing conditions. Searchers are looking for seven people who've gone missing while traveling by boat to Quinhagak. The group was last seen on Tuesday in Eek, the nearest village upriver from the coastal community. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur has more.
The now missing group started with three people in Quinhagak, grew to five in Bethel, and then somewhere along the way expanded to seven. Many details are unknown at this time. Quinhagak Tribal Police Chief John Peters says three men left Quinhagak on Saturday to go seal hunting, Alexi Nose Jr., Michael Sharp, and Willie Wassily. They then boated to Bethel, where they picked up Chad Chadwick Sr. and Elizabeth Wassily. On Tuesday, John says the group stopped in Eek to get gas.
And somebody told us that they got 3 gallons of gas, and somebody gave them 7 gallons, and that was 10 gallons. Enough for them to come this way.
Chief Peter has a photo of the boaters in Eek from the Eek police. However, the photo only shows three of the travelers.
Michael Sharp on a boat, Alexi Nose, and Chadwick, either Chad or Willie Wassily.
Alaska State Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters says somewhere along the way, two more people also joined the now missing party, Neil Guttleben and Bernice Waska. That totals seven missing people. Troopers joined the search. The Coast Guard dispatched a C-130 helicopter from Kodiak. Bethel Search and Rescue searched Kuskokwim Bay from the air in a Cessna airplane between Napakiak, Quinhagak, and Kangegunak. Quinhagak Police Chief Peter and fellow officers waited at the Quinhagak Boat Harbor for 3 nights for the missing group to arrive. Boats can only travel into the community on high tide, and now that high tide is after midnight. On Thursday, searchers from Quinhagak boated upriver to Eek to look for the missing travelers. Because of the widespread COVID-19 outbreak in Quinhagak, the searchers did not enter Eek. Also on Thursday, Eek Tribal Gaming Director Micah Heakin says searchers from Eek looked for the missing travelers in the tributaries around the village. Quinhagak Tribal Police Chief Peter says heavy winds are creating high waves on the river, and this morning he called in all the search boats. Around noon, a group began gassing up their four-wheelers to ride to the coast to look for the missing group. The missing travelers are in a 20-foot gray aluminum welded boat with a blue Yamaha outboard motor. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Scientists believe a massive glacial dam release recently occurred in southeast Alaska, but they probably would not have known about it if they had not been tipped off by an observant commercial fisherman. KTOO's Matt Miller has this report.
Jim Moore says Lituya Bay on the outer coast of southeast Alaska has always been a special place for his family. During the first day of the August Chinook season, the Sitka commercial fisherman was out in his boat with his two grandsons preparing to ride the flood tide into the bay to anchor up for the night. Instead, the current was flowing out the other way.
This event, you know, was pretty spooky.
The water was muddy, full of trees and other debris, and something that Moore hasn't seen since the 1970s, icebergs, as far as he could see into the bay, mostly refrigerator-sized and smaller.
We picked up a couple and put this thousands of years old ice into our cooler to keep our food on the trip.
Moore says it was too dangerous to fight the current to get into the bay.
The prudent thing to do was to leave the area.
So what happened? Lituya Bay is a place where Mother Nature has always had the upper hand. In 1786, for example, French explorer La Perouse lost two boats and 21 men trying to chart the entrance to the bay. Longtime southeast Alaska residents may remember the 1958 earthquake that killed five people. It also triggered a rockfall in the bay that generated one of the world's tallest tsunamis of at least 1,700 feet. But what happened to cause this latest mystery? Michael Loso, a geologist with the National Park Service, says satellite images taken just before and after the August event were key to solving it. First, he looked at the braided river delta between Lituya Glacier and Lituya Bay.
The active channels that normally carry meltwater from the glacier down to the ocean had been completely revamped. Pre-existing channels were gone and new channels had formed in other places.
Loso says they suspected Moore saw the aftermath of a glacial dam release. It's got a cool Icelandic name, Jokulap. And here's how it happened. Just above Lituya Glacier is Desolation Valley. In it, a 4-square-mile lake is collecting meltwater from other nearby glaciers. Lituya Glacier normally acts as a dam holding the lake's water in place. Loso says a colleague noticed Desolation Lake's water levels had dropped by as much as 200 feet.
And what that meant is now we had sort of the smoking gun for where did that water come from.
It likely found a path under Lituya Glacier. And it's a lot of water. I mean, a lot.
Roughly the average hourly discharge of the Amazon River, the biggest river in the world.
Loso says anyone camping on the delta would have witnessed a big, violent torrent of water pouring down on them over a day or so.
You would have had a little bit of time if you were paying attention to get out of the way, but if you didn't pick up on the signs of the rising river levels as the flood sort of began, that would be a deadly place to be.
He also believes that water levels throughout Lituya Bay would have risen several feet above the high tide line because of the Jokulap.
The biggest or one of the biggest to come out of this particular basin, and it's also one of the biggest that has happened in the state that we know of.
Loso says archived satellite images and previously reported observations suggest this wasn't the first time it's happened. Because of climate change, Loso says it's possible it's occurring at least once, perhaps more, each year now. Meanwhile, Jim Moore continues helping scientists by compiling the underwater data he's collected over the last five decades.
It would be interesting going back this coming year and seeing if there was any noticeable changes in that, because it's a lot of water that ran out there carrying a big load of silt or mud or something.
Loso hopes Moore's data will help them discover areas prone to underwater landslides, mini tsunamis, or any other secrets in Lituya Bay. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
And by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, proud to offer a variety of sofas and love seats made in Oregon by Stanton, as well as massage and zero-gravity chairs by Human Touch. Find the fabric and style that fits your lifestyle in the store or by special order. Also featuring inviting rugs, lamps, and accessories for your home at Artinger's, 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fish skins could mean big bucks for Alaska. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute works to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. Learn more at alaskaseafood.org.
Those billions of fish skins getting tossed out each year could turn into millions of dollars for Alaska. Fish skins are making international news for their proven ability to heal burns. Tilapia skins treated the burnt paws of bears and mountain lions during the California wildfires, and a tissue-like product created in Iceland from intact cod skins is being used on patients in Europe and is cleared by the FDA to treat burns in the U.S. It's called Caresis Omega-3 Burn Treatment. When the fish skin is grafted onto damaged tissue, it builds up the body's own cells to rapidly regenerate. Caresis credits omega-3s for the healing power, that and collagen. Fish skins contain the type of collagen protein that makes up most of our skin and body. Most collagen has traditionally come from livestock, but the more remarkable properties of fish skins have experts pegging the value of marine collagen for the nutraceutical, cosmetic, food, and medical market at nearly $900 million by 2023. Reports say that fish skins have great appeal because they're available at a large scale and come with no religious constraints.
They're fish. They're not beef. They're not pork. So they satisfy kosher and halal dietary restrictions.
Cindy Bauer is a former USDA food researcher. Alaska fisheries economist Dan Lesh of the McDowell Group said for Alaska pollock, with catch volumes averaging over 3 billion pounds a year, that adds up to over 1.4 million pounds of pollock skins, assuming a 5% yield. Skin yield percentages were in the 8 to 10% range for salmon. According to a Portuguese study, nearly 20% of collagen was extracted from salmon skins and 11% from cod. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday. It is the 26th day of October, the year 2020. Sun rose today at 9:09 this morning, and it'll set again at 6:38 p.m. That's going to give us 9 hours and 24 minutes of glorious daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 45 seconds compared to yesterday. Local tides coming up. We just had a high tide here on the east side at 12:06. That was a 7.4-foot tide. Our next low tide will be at 6 p.m., 5:59. That's going to be a 2.7-foot tide, followed by a high tide at nearly midnight, 11:51 p.m., of 7.3 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a tide coming up, a high tide at 12:28 p.m., 13.3 feet. Your next low tide will be at 6:39 this evening of 3.8 feet. Followed by a high tide after midnight at 12:32 a.m. on the Uganic side of 12.6 feet. 49 degrees here in Kodiak. It has been a beautiful day, and we're looking for a beautiful day tomorrow as well. Mostly sunny skies on call for Wednesday. But look out for high winds to continue today and overnight from the west with 35 miles per hour steady winds and gusts as high as 55. But those winds are expected to slack off tomorrow. Thursday, we're looking at a 30% chance of rain, but but mostly sunny skies otherwise. So we have some sunny conditions coming up. Mariners, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 984 millibar low 10 nautical miles south of Seward will move to 35 nautical miles north of Hitchin Brook Entrance Monday afternoon and go to 987 millibars. The low will then weaken as it exits across the Northeast Gulf Monday night through Tuesday. Your resulting weather: Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east shore off east side offshore, gale warning through tonight, southwest wind to 40 knots right now and seas to 18 feet. For tomorrow, west wind to 25 knots and seas to 10 feet. Over in the Shelikof on Kodiak's west side, gale warning through tonight, southwest wind to 40 knots right now with gusts to 55 knots out of western bays and passes, seas to 12 feet in the Shelikof. West winds to 35 knots tonight, gusts to 50 knots after out of bays and passes. And for tomorrow in the Shelikof, look for west wind to 25 knots and seas to 5 feet. Senior citizens of Kodiak will hold a board meeting on Friday, October 30th at 10:30 a.m. The meeting will be held in the center's multi-purpose room. There will be social distancing and masks will be required for the public and board members. It is open to the public, and to call 486-6181 for more information. Celebrate Dia de los Muertos at the Kodiak Public Library. That is the Mexican holiday honoring family and friends who have passed on. The library is offering calavera, that is sugar skull, kits to take home, decorate, and remember loved ones. Call Ani at 486-8683 to reserve your kit. Meetings coming up. Tonight, we have a Consolidation Committee meeting in the Assembly Chambers. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. For tomorrow, we have a Parks and Rec Committee meeting at Bayside Fire Hall. That will be happening at 12 noon tomorrow. Also tomorrow, a Solid Waste Advisory Board meeting will be happening at 5:15 p.m. in the Assembly Chambers. Well, in case you don't know, KMXT is holding a pumpkin parade this year. Well, let's let Pam Foreman and Mike Wall tell you about it.
We'll direct traffic onto Egan Way, so you'll go past the high school's painted rock, and then we'll have pumpkins along there, pumpkins in the KMXT yard, and along that way to the library where they're going to have spooky music playing and all kinds of cool stuff, and then on out to
So the pumpkins aren't actually parading. The people are parading.
No. Well, yes, the people in cars are parading. So trying to keep it COVID safe.
KMXT members, please come by the station to pick up a pumpkin from KMXT. And anyone interested in paying the steeply discounted $20 membership fee will also be able to receive a pumpkin during our membership drive, which is going on right now. The drive-through parade will run from 5 to 7 p.m. on the 30th. Right after the trick-or-treating downtown. Well, our membership drive is going on right now, and we'd like to thank renewing members, Christy Kinter. Thank you very much, Christy. Also, Nathan DiFiore, a new member. Thank you very much, Nathan. As well as Michelle Weekly. Thank you for renewing your membership. You can do that very easily on the KMXT website at kmxt.org. You'll find a handy blue button where it's safe, easy, and secure, or you can call us up the old-fashioned way at 486-3181. It's 486-3181 to become a member the old-fashioned way. But I have to encourage you to become a member of KMXT. It's a great group to be a member of.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181. Fax us at 486-2733 or email psa@kmxt.org.